Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 and 23 will be our text here for this morning. Title of the message is, "The Light of the Body is the Eye." Light of the body is the eye. So this is a Bible school topic that was assigned to me. So I looked. I don't think you have it here. So, and the light of the body is the eye. This is a found here in Matthew chapter 6. We can also find it in Luke 11. We will be staying here in Matthew chapter 6 here for this morning. But the light of the body is the eye is the title. And we see the following, there's two verses there, a very short text, but we see a straightforward meaning there. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And I don't have it up here, but it says, if therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? So we have the statement, a short statement of the light of the body is the eye. And then we have a idiom that follows this good eye, bad eye idiom that so it follows that and explains the statement there, explains what it means that of the light of the body is the eye. So to be full of light, we need to have the right kind of eye. And that's the goal. If we have an evil eye, it will be full of darkness. So all through the Bible, we see that light is a good thing. The kingdom of light and darkness is a type of sin, and darkness we know is evil. So the difference with being full of light or full of darkness has to do with our eyes, our focus, so this illustration has to do with our vision. And our seeing, our ability to see. So it's having a proper focus. That's the goal, to have a proper focus on spiritual things versus earthly things. And so the good eye is full of light. The bad eye is not focused and out and full of darkness. So the definition of our title here, we have three nouns that we can see here in our title. It says the light of the body is the eye. So light. And that is what illuminates. We see the light illuminates. This is often translated candle or light. And then we have the body, and that's what you see here. My head to foot is my body. So the light of the body. And then we have eye, and that simply means your physical eye. It's figuratively, it means our vision, but it's what it literally means is our eye that you see. So now we see the idiom here is the good eye, bad eye. Idioms were, this was an Old Testament and New Testament. We'll see this good eye, bad eye. We're going to look into it. But that's a figurative of speech. It can stand for something else. The Jews would have connected with this. We're going to see it in the Bible, quite a few other places. And they would have known what it meant. It would have made perfect sense to them. So we have idioms today. Actually, we use the idiom, you know, like you have a good eye for color or something. We don't really have, it meant more back then than today. But we have our idioms like cost an arm and a leg or that was a piece of cake. We know what it meant, what it means. And they would have known what this means. It had meaning behind it. And we're going to look into that. And we'll see what the King James here translates this good eye as single. And we see that there's other translations. And as we look at the different meanings of this good eye, bad eye, and how they're translated, it's going to bring it into context with our verses in Matthew chapter 6, where we're in the middle of treasures in heaven and versus treasures in earth and serving God and serving money. So we see at first glance, we would see that these verses don't fit here. These two verses, in the context of Jesus is teaching about money right before, and he's teaching about money right after it. But as we explore the meanings of these two eyes, the good eye and the bad eye, we'll see that it really brings it into context of possessions and money and how it does fit perfectly in this setting here. And we'll get back to that. So we'll see how it fits into the context of treasures and money. So this morning we're going to look at here, first of all, we're going to look at the straightforward illustration of the light of the body is the eye. And secondly, we're going to look at the meaning. We're going to take a deep dive into the good eye, bad eye. And then thirdly, we're going to bring it into context with what Jesus is teaching here in Matthew chapter 6. So we see the light of the body is the eye. So that's the actual statement, and it does have a straightforward meaning. So the light of the body is the eye. One time there's a woman went to the doctor, and she told the doctor when she looks at the mirror, she sees that her hairline is going back. We're talking about the number of hair in her head. And she sees there's wrinkles are getting a little deeper. And on her fingernails, she said, there's lines in here and something. Just, doctor, could you tell me what's wrong with me? And the doctor gave her an exam, and she said, the doctor said, one thing we know is your vision is good. So this illustration has to do with vision, but it's not physical, it's spiritual. Jesus was taking something common as an eye and using to teach a spiritual lesson on vision, our focus. Now we look at the eye, and it is an amazing organ. It's just the ability to see is something very, very valuable. I was just measuring for flooring at a house here just the other week, and she was, I believe, legally blind because her husband led her into the house and was trying to help her. He was stating things that we could both see, like here's the line, this is where the carpet will stop and the tile will stop, and he took me back to appreciate my eyesight. You know, we take our eyesight for granted. But, you know, this is not about physical sight that Jesus is teaching here. But it's talking about spiritual sight. The light of our body is the eye. Now, what we see affects our whole being. We learn here from this verse. If our eyes are good, you know, our whole body is going to be full of light. Good. Illuminated. Just like when we go in a room and we flip the light switch on. We see that it's light. There's light. It helps us to be able to get around. We're not going to stumble over things. And the opposite is true. If it's dark, we can stumble over things. So if our eyes go bad, it goes bad for our whole body. It brings darkness to our whole body. So this body is the whole being of me. Jesus earlier, it means the same as when he taught earlier in chapter 5. It says, if thy right eye offend thee, cut it out, pluck it out, cast it from thee. It is more profitable for thee if one of thy members perish than thy whole body be cast into hell. That's the same whole body, our whole body. Now, secondly, we see the eyes is an entrance to the body. Our eyes can be used for good or evil. So for good, it's beneficial. Light can... the good eye, the light will be radiating out of us from within. For evil, it can be harmful. It can be blinding, darkness from within. So it's very important what our eyes, what we see. You know, the world flaunts all types of evil before us, from books to magazines to movies to internet sites. You know, if we allow our eyes to linger on these kinds of evils that are available through those avenues, it's going to affect us with darkness, the inability to see spiritually. This kind of eye will dim the light. It's going to blind you. It can blind you spiritually. The eye, what we look on, can either bring light or it can bring darkness. And so we sing the song, "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see." That's very true. We need to guard our eyes. We guard our hearts by guarding our eyes. Our eyes are the entrance to the body. So it starts with the eyes. So it's a straightforward illustration here. You know, the eye can bring darkness to us, or the bad eye or the good eye can bring light to us. So now, what is light? Light, number one, is the ability to see. It's the light represents perception, the ability to see spiritually. Having light means you can see. Darkness means you can't see spiritually. I have a verse in Matthew 13 where it talks about Jesus spoke to them in parables because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And then he goes on and talks about the prophecy of Isaiah where they seeing see not, and you shall not perceive. So light begins with perception. It begins with perception. When you see things, it results in life. So light brings life, spiritual life from God. So it's perception and it's spiritual life. Now, another verse that we can look at, what is light? Jesus is light. It says, I've come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Jesus also said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So he has come a light into the world. And if we believe in him, if we follow him, we can be light. We are his reflectors. Jesus says, ye are the light of the world. So it starts with him. And then he says, ye are the light of the world. So it comes from him. So light is life, and light results in life, spiritual life from God. And also it affects our walk. You know, it says here, this light will affect our walk, our actions. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord, walk as children of light. So if we focus on Christ, it's going to affect our whole body, our whole life, and we'll be walking in the light. So also we could say, what does it mean to be full of light? You know, it says the whole body shall be full of light, or the whole body shall be full of darkness. So we saw that light is spiritual light from God, and it's perception, be able to see. So full of light would simply mean a great measure of spiritual perception. We can see things as they really are. And full of darkness is the opposite, that we can, the inability to see, the lack of spiritual life, and we can't see things as they really are. So the light of the body is the eye. So the filled with light is comes from a good eye, and filled with darkness comes from having a bad eye. So it all depends on your eye, whether it's good or bad, whether we have light or darkness. So we see this illustration stands alone. The light of the body is the eye. Now we want to look at the good eye and the bad eye idiom. So we're going to take a little deep dive into the good eye, bad eye idiom. So we noted that the Jews would have connected with this. And we're going to see that as we look into the Old Testament and the New Testament, where we see this good eye and bad eye idiom. And it would have made perfect sense to them. So now we see also there's different versions translate these words differently. We're going to see King James uses single, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But so that tells us, I believe, that this idiom can mean different, have different meanings. So when we think of good, you know, it's just a generic, you know, you can be good in many ways, and an evil eye, you can be evil in many ways. But we're going to see, as we look into the bringing up these verses here, we're going to see some patterns, and especially as it comes into the context of money and possessions. We're going to see some different things that coming through, and patterns that we're going to see. So first of all, we're going to look at the good eye. So the good eye comes from these two Greek words, and the ophthalmos, and that literally means the eye. And that's where we get the word ophthalmologist from. So it literally means the eye. Figuratively, it means our vision. And then we have this word, this Greek word, haplos, and that simply means good. The literal translation would be good. And we'll see since single is King James and sincere. So we have different translations here. The New King James uses good. There's quite a few versions that use good. And King James uses single. There's another translation there, not as familiar, that uses sincere. There's a New American Standard uses clear, and the ESV uses healthy. So we see quite a few different words that are used to translate this one Greek word and Hebrew word. But so we're not doing a translation study here, but we are trying to glean some insights as to what really does this good eye mean and what does the evil eye mean. When we see other ways it's used, it can help us capture the meaning of this eye. So now, first of all, I want to look at the King James uses the word single. Single, which is a good translation. Single means one. Single in purpose. If it's not single, it's multiple. So single means being motivated by singleness of purpose. One purpose to glorify God in everything we do and say. So if we see double, it's like out of focus. We can't see, double vision doesn't work. You know, we can't make progress when we are looking in two different directions. Peter, when he was walking on the water, he tried it. He took his focus, when his focus was on Christ, he walked on the water. As soon as he took his focus off of Christ, what happened? He went down. And it says here, if thine eye be single, you know, if our vision, if our focus, if our outlook is single, one purpose to glorify God and serve Him, the result is light. We'll be full of light. Single is a meaning of this word, and it's of the good eye. And we also see it translated sincere. Sincere is another, I believe, that word that could be used to translate this word good. So single, I believe, could be translated sincere. Sincere fits the context of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we have three times, I believe, Jesus says, don't be as the hypocrites who want to be seen of men. So a good eye is a single eye that's sincere. It's motivated by singleness of purpose. It's going to be sincere, and it's going to be healthy, and it's going to be clear in some of these other translations that the word is used. Now we're going to go now to the Old Testament, and we're going to see where this good eye, don't read the verse yet, but we're going to read this, that where this good eye is in the Old Testament. Here, and I believe here it has it means generous. It means a generous eye. So let's read the verse. It says, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. So the bountiful is the Hebrew word here that means good. The literal translation of that word is a good eye. So it could be translated, a good eye shall be blessed. But they chose to use the word bountiful. Bountiful it's mostly translated good. There's different translations that use good. The New American Standard uses the generous eye. So here we have a generous eye, and we see the good eye is connected to generosity. And we're going to see in a little bit how the evil eye is connected to being stingy. You know, generosity is a matter of how we look at things. You know, we can give a lot of money without being generous. You know, the hypocrites blew their trumpets before they dropped their money. They wanted to be seen of men. But they also tithe perfectly of all the spices in the pantry. But they were very insincere. They didn't have a sincere. God loves the cheerful giver. Sincerity brings the right motives to generosity. Let me say it again. Sincerity brings the right motives to generosity. So the right kind of eye brings the ability to see and to have perception. And here, what is the perception here in the verse that we have up? To see he giveth of his bread to the poor. So this good eye, it speaks of generosity, And he sees the needs. He sees the needs, the one in need of bread. He's generous. He's generous. So that's another meaning of this good eye. Now, one in the New Testament here yet. Now, this is not good eye, but this is the word, the same Greek word here, good. So, and it's in James, it says, if any man lack wisdom, very familiar verse, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. So here's our word. This word for, generosity, liberally. So the good eye, if we evaluate and look, what did we learn? You know, it's single. It's sincere. It's generous. It's healthy. It's clear. And it's liberal. And it's full of light. It brings light. This is the kind of eye. It's just, if your eye be good, you're single, thy whole body shall be full of light. This is the good eye that we're talking about that results in full of light. Now, let's go to look at the evil eye. This evil eye comes from, in the Greek words here is the same word, ophthalmos, literally means the eye. And then we have the Greek word here, panaros, which is bad or evil. And we see that this panaros here is translated mostly as evil or bad or wicked when we get to Matthew's text here alone. But we're going to look at some other verses that's going to help us see the meaning of this evil eye. So when you think about bad can be a lot of different ways. But when we're bringing other scripture, we're going to use the Bible as our commentary, and we're going to bring other scripture in to see what this evil eye means. What's the meaning behind this evil eye? And we're going to first go into the Old Testament. Now, don't read the verse yet. So I just want to give a little background here before we look at the verse. But here we have in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 15, we see a section of verses that's talking about loaning money and the sabbatical year coming up. That a sabbatical year would be when all the debts are released, when all the debts are canceled and it goes back to zero. So here in our verses ahead of this verse, it talks about a wealthy brother that is loaning money to a poorer brother, or a poorer brother comes to a wealthier brother and asks for money. He needs some money. And the sabbatical year is coming up, and the sabbatical year is when all the debts are canceled. So this is the law here, and it's giving a warning to the wealthier brother about what he's thinking. So let's read. It says here, beware, this is a warning to the wealthier, beware that there not be a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year release is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him naught, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto him. So here is a warning to the wealthier brother. You know, when your poor brother comes and asks for money, and you know that if he say comes up and he asks, I need $1,000, and you know that sabbatical year is 9 months away, and then he starts to think, the law is telling him, don't do this. He thinks in his mind, you know, well, is he going to be able to pay me back? Is he going to be able to pay me back till the debts are canceled? And it says, don't be stingy. Don't do that. The law says, don't do that. Don't be tight-fisted. Don't have an evil eye, the King James uses. That's the meaning. We're using an example here to get the meaning of what this evil eye means. Don't be stingy. Give to your brother who needs it. When sabbatical year comes around, it doesn't matter if it's in his account or your account. Just give to your brother. Don't let your eye be evil. Don't be stingy. If you don't give him anything because the year release is coming, that's an evil eye. That's an evil eye. And the law is giving a warning here. So there are other translations. It says, don't let your eye look grudgingly. The New American Standard says, if your eye look malicious. NIV, showing ill will. So there we capture the meaning These other translations help us to capture the meaning. So what's the opposite of that? It's to be generous, right? You see, the good eye is connected with generosity. And here we have the evil eye connected with being stingy and being selfish. I want it for me. So I'm not helping because I might not get it back. So there is one example that we see in the Old Testament. Here's another one. So it says here, this is an evil eye, and it says, "He that hasteneth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him." So here we have an evil eye is connected with the chasing of wealth, the hoarding of wealth. So we're seeing it's definitely connected here to wealth and riches. This we're seeing the connection this evil eye has to treasures and money, which we're going to be going to in a little bit here in the New Testament, in the Sermon on the Mount. So what is the opposite of this evil eye? Is the good eye. It's the bountiful eye, the generous eye, the one that sees needs, the one is looking. So the good eye is linked to generosity, giving to the poor, helping your brother, living with open hands, generosity. And the evil eye is linked to closed hands, being tight-fisted, stingy, hoarding wealth, treasures, living with closed hands, and blind to the needs of others. We see definitely how it's connected to money and treasures. Now, I would like to look at two other places yet in the New Testament, and then we will go back to Matthew 6. But here, I bring this back again. So in the New Testament, there's only four places, I think, that this evil eye is used together. We see the two Greek words. Now, the Greek word for eye is used many times alone, and the Greek word for pronaris is used many times alone for bad and evil. But together, it's only four times that I can see. And one is in Matthew 6, and the other one is in Luke 11, the identical verses. And then we have two others that we're going to look at where this evil eye is together in the Bible in the New Testament. And one of them is, the first one is in Mark chapter 7. And this one says, this is talking about man's sin from coming from within the heart. And here we have, it says, "For within, out of the heart of man, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness." And here we have the evil eye. "Blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these things come from within and defile the man." So we're looking at this evil eye. Now, if we look at some other translations, we'll see it says quite a few of them, I think most of them, use the word envy. ESV and Amplified uses envy and jealousy. So here, if the literal translation is the evil eye, and to capture the meaning of the word is envy. That is what it means, envy and jealousy. Now, we want to go to the last one here in the New Testament. This is the other place that this evil eye is together in the New Testament. And this is in Matthew chapter 20. So we'll get to the verse in a little bit. Parable of the laborers. The man had a vineyard, and he went out, and he was hiring the laborers. We know the story. He went out early, and he hired them, the first ones, for a penny a day. Then he went out again at 9 o'clock, and he says, "I'll pay you what's fair." And then he did it at 12 o'clock, and then at 11 o'clock, almost at quitting time, he went out again and still hired some laborers. And he says, "I'll pay you what's right." And then pay time came, and he starts with the first one, the ones that only worked 1 hour, and he paid them a penny. And then the ones that worked all day were standing back and saying, "Wow, what are we going to get paid?" And it comes down to the last ones, and they all got paid a penny. And they started murmuring and complaining. And they said, "You know, they worked 1 hour and get the same as we do. That's just not fair." And the owner says, "Look, I did thee no wrong. Didn't we agree for a penny a day, a day's wage? Take it and be satisfied." And then here's our verse. It says, "Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? There we have this evil eye. And the translations, you know, American Standard says, is thy eye evil because I'm good? NIV says, is thine eye envious because I'm generous? There's the meaning. Do you begrudge my generosity? Should you be jealous because I'm generous? See, there we have a life example to capture the meaning of this evil eye. This evil eye is, and when you look at the householder there, he was generous. And we have those that were complaining, and they were envy. The evil eye was connected to envy, where the good eye is connected to generosity. You're envious of my generosity. They were looking around. They were comparing and complaining. And that's the bad eye. That's the bad eye. That's the evil eye. We see that means envious and jealousy. And the good eye is means generous. You know, instead of rejoicing in somebody else's blessing, they could not rejoice in the others that got paid the same, that got paid a penny. They couldn't rejoice with them. In their, you know, the Bible says, weep with them that weep and rejoice with them that rejoice. But they couldn't do it because their eye was evil. They were envious and jealousy. And I believe, you know, we could ask, you know, why couldn't they rejoice with those who rejoice? Because they had a side glance of jealousy. They were just looking, you know, I wish I had that. I wish they don't deserve that. That doesn't belong to them. So that's the evil eye and the good eye. So there we'd have them side by side. So the good eye is single. It's one focus. It's sincere. It's genuine. It's generous. It's living with open hands. It sees needs. And it's liberal. It's helping others. It's giving bread to the one who needs bread, helping a brother needs help. That's the good eye. And the evil eye is the opposite. It's envy and jealousy. It's that complaining spirit. It's that being stingy instead of generous, selfish. He's being stingy. He might not pay me back. He's being unconcerned about a brother in need. Maybe he can't see the needs. And having a desire to get rich quick is the traits that we saw of this evil eye. So both the good eye and the bad eye definitely refer to money and treasures. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 6 and see, let's read the context now from verse 19 to verse 24. It says in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or money. So we look at these verses, and we see the verses right before are the light of the body is the eye here, then our idiom, the good eye, bad eye. We see right before he's talking about treasures and laying not. The command that is given here is lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. And this, then we have this right afterward, he's talking about you can't serve God and money. You can't serve You can't serve two masters. You serve the one and hate the other, and you can't serve both. So he's talking about money right before, and he's talking about money right after. And we see the main theme, the context, is about treasures and money. And so we can see this statement that we looked at, this good eye and the bad eye, and the statement, the light of the body is the eye, these verses teach in the context, they teach something about money. They teach us about money and our relationship to it, that we need a proper focus. This teaches that we need a right focus towards riches and wealth. The command is, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. And that's what the evil eye was doing. And also hastening to be rich has an evil eye. So the evil eye is laying up treasures on earth. And here we have, this is all about focus. That light is representing the aperture in a camera. You know, where's our focus? Is our focus on the good eye? Is serving treasures in heaven, serving God, full of light? Or is our focus on earthly treasures, serving money, and the result is full of darkness? So the eye is laying up. Either it's in heaven or it's in earth, the treasures. And the more treasures I believe that we have on earth, is the more it will distort our spiritual vision. So, and when I believe the good eye is when we have that focus on that on the right focus. And one of the ways that we can tell if we have a right focus is that when we're able to give cheerfully, generously, I think it shows that we're not mastered by money. You know, this treasure is, if you look at the Strong's, it's the first definition is a deposit. Deposit. And I believe that we're either making deposits on earth or we're making deposits in heaven. So using money for God's kingdom is a way that we can lay up treasures in heaven. Missions, schools, you know, we're not short of organizations to give to. But he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed. I believe when we give to needs that come before us, that's a deposit in heaven. You know, the light of the body is the eye, and the idiom that we looked at is definitely the statement here supports the command of laying not up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And he's saying if we have a good eye, a right focus towards money, serving God, a single purpose, sincere, generous, you're full of light. You're laying up treasures in heaven. And the opposite is the bad eye, you know, focus towards serving money, serving mammon, pursuing wealth, riches, stingy, selfish, instead of generous, being jealous. And the result is full of darkness, as we see there. So the command is, so the good eye sharpens our perspective on material things. Lay not up. And the bad eye dulls our perspective on material things. It says, you know, it says lay up. So the more treasure on earth, the more it will distort your spiritual vision. The more treasure in heaven, the more spiritual perception. A greater measure, being full of light, is a greater measure of spiritual perception. So a good eye keeps its focus on heavenly treasures. A bad eye focus is drawn to earthly treasures. So I believe today if there's ever a time, we need to strive to keep a right focus is today. There's so many distractions out there calling for our attention, for our focus over there, wherever it is. But we need to keep our focus on God. The Bible says, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. So we have a good eye, bad eye. So where is our eye focused on this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and love to us. Thank you for the truths of your word. Thank you for the Sermon on the Mount and the lessons that you have given there many years ago that are very applicable for today. So as we ask ourselves the question, where is our eye? Do I have a good eye? Or do I have a tendency to be stingy and not generous and not looking for not sensitive to the needs around me? So Lord, help us to have that good eye so that we can be full of light And Father, we thank you for congregation here. Just pray that you'll bless them, and pray for our Sunday school hour, that you will be with us and guide us through that. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.